see the praise team grow, especially with the youthful voices. Amen? Yes. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. This passage Paul is talking about the gospel, that it was once a mystery, but is now made clear and made plain. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can understand how the gospel is no longer a mystery to you. It's not a secret. It's that which God has used to bring you to a saving relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul says that he proclaimed the gospel in the power of the Lord. And here in this passage, one thing, just your attention to verse 27 of chapter 1. Paul gives the essence, if you will, the heart of the gospel that's alive in the believer. That man, that woman, that boy, that girl who's put their faith in Jesus Christ, in His finished work on the cross, in the empty tomb of His resurrection, the power of His resurrection. And Paul says in verse 27, chapter 1 of Colossians, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That phrase, if you will, that's a summary of the gospel. Summary of the gospel at work and alive in the born-again believer. We've been looking at what that means and how that reflects in the journey of the new life of the believer. We saw a couple of weeks ago how that glory of Christ is reflected in the new birth. For we are new creations in Christ. Therefore, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So that glory is reflected in that new life, that new birth. And then we also saw just last week that glory of Jesus Christ is also seen and reflected in that work of transformation that God is bringing about in the lives of every one of His children. As it says there, and you have that verse before you on your outline. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, from this cup, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It began at that new birth. Are you born again? I pray you are. Here we're celebrating the birth and the life of Cain Matthew Forney. And we've been praying as a church family. And I know his parents, Troy and Danae, have been praying too that early in his life he would come to know Jesus Christ, that he would be born again and reflect that glory of Jesus Christ. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that transforming work of the Holy Spirit in your life is also reflecting that glory of Jesus Christ. So it is indeed Christ in you, the hope of glory. But this morning, as we bring this to a close, if you will, and you see in your outline before you, that continuum from new birth to the transformation to heaven. And so, if you will, that last conclusion, the glory of being with Jesus. And it is glory that we're looking forward to. The glory of His presence. The glory of His majesty. The glory of who He is. And we will see Him face to face, John tells us. And we shall be like Him. We want to take a look at God's Word. How that glory is taught by God through His Word to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Then having that hope, that expectation, that confident expectation of what God is doing right now and will do in your life, in my life. Not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is. Amen? Yes. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Take a look, if you will, on your outline before you, some verses there from Revelation that just gives us a glimpse of heaven and its glory. Many glimpses of heaven we see throughout the Word of God, for sure. But take a look, if you will, at Revelation in your outline there. Revelation chapter 21, verses 2 through 3. 3 through 4, I'm sorry. And I heard a loud voice, John writes these words, from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He's talking about being in heaven. He's seeing it. And He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, or crying, or pain, or any more. For the former things have passed away. Well, what a glimpse, what a picture of glory yet to come. But that's all because of Jesus Christ in the life of the believer. So I must ask you this morning, are you born again? Do you know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior? I pray that you do. That's the beginning of that glory, reflecting Jesus Christ in your life as a new believer in Jesus, as a new babe. Then as you continue to grow, that transforming work, are you being transformed into His likeness? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say, yes. Yes, you are. That's God's work in us. That's transforming. But here we also see that we have a glory yet to come. A great glory to see. The glory of the place prepared for us there for all believers in Jesus Christ. Take a look at John 14. You have that either in your Bible or in the outline before us. The Lord Jesus Christ there in the upper room, just before He was betrayed, before He was arrested and beaten and crucified, not for His sins or anything that he had done. He lived a perfect, holy, sinless life. And He who knew no sin took our sins upon Himself, that you and I could become the righteousness of God in Him, in Jesus Christ. And Jesus, speaking to His disciples there in the upper room, He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You know God's answer to a troubled heart? Believe in God. That's God's answer. Believe in God. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I know the King James says many mansions. They translate that from the Latin version. But it's many rooms, many dwelling places. Okay, let's go on. It says, if it were not so, the Lord Jesus says, but I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. He's talking about the glory to come for every believer in Jesus Christ. The glory of heaven. The glory of that place being prepared for every believer in Jesus Christ. It's a particular place. It's not a dream. It's not a vision. It's real. It's a particular place. It's also a perfect place. It's right there in the very presence of God, where no sin is. No tears, no crying, no sorrows, no sickness. It's a perfect place. It's also a permanent place. But here, specifically, the Lord says, I go and prepare a place for you. Aside from being our great high priest and making intercession for us, He's also preparing a place for His people, for those who put their faith and trust in Him. He says it right here. You know, when it says He's a prepared place, He's preparing that place for us. It's a piece of forethought. It's a piece of careful planning. It speaks of, if you will, of a loving intention. In the Gospels, we read how Christ demonstrated His loving intention of caring and compassion for all people. Those who He healed, those who He comforted, those who He forgave, and those who He saved. But we also see that same loving intention, care and compassion that He has in preparing a place for you if you're in Christ Jesus. A loving intention that's going on, what He's doing right now. We also see a joyful anticipation. I'm preparing a place for you. He knows you by name. In fact, He even says that in God's Word there in Isaiah. I know you by name and you are mine. Think of that. He's preparing a place for you personally if you're in Jesus Christ. He knows you by name. He knows what He has in store for you. He's preparing that. Not only with loving intention, but a joyful anticipation that He has and that we too should have of being there with Him. A joyful anticipation gives us an understanding, if you will, in the preparation that He's doing right now for you and for me in Christ Jesus. It also gives us an understanding of how indeed He will rejoice when we are home. He's rejoicing right now. Don't doubt that. But the greater joy of being there with Him. The joyful anticipation in that preparation. But we also see a faithful completion. A faithful completion in that preparation. Take a look at, you have a verse there that speaks of that joyful completion. And the Lord uses a parable. He's talking about the master and his servants. And He entrusts them with certain things that they need to do. And as they were obeying, faithfully obeying their master, when they completed their task, he says these words. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Faithful completion. Faithful completion of the work that God did through you while you were here on earth. You see the joyful intention? He intends for us to be with Him, and He's preparing that place just for you. That faithful completion, when you have completed that course that He has for you, that He can say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Not only is the glory of being in the place where Christ is preparing for us, but take a look at your outline. There's another aspect of that glory yet to come. The glory of the perfection and the beauty of heaven. Take a look at the verses you also have there from Revelation chapter 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" The future glory that you and I will see right now exists in a permanent place, in a particular place, in a place that God, His Son, Jesus Christ, is preparing for you and for me. The glory of perfection. You know, it's interesting. We see the beauty of creation. I hear some of you guys, when you're going out into the woods and hunting, say, "Oh, wow, it's just so beautiful out there." No matter what time of day, and hopefully it's during the day. you guys get the idea, right? But, you know, to see the beauty of creation, majestic mountains. And we see, and in the evening, we see all those constellations, and we say, "Oh, thank God for your creation." We see the beauty. We also certainly see beauty in lives and relationships. The beauty that can be displayed in marriage, and the beauty that can be displayed in families, the beauty that can be displayed in the body of Christ, the church, though not perfect. I find it interesting, in a very imperfect world, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, we all have an idea of perfection. Not that we achieve it, but we all have an idea or a thought or a desire for perfection. When God created this world, there in Genesis chapter 1, He said, "Yes, and all things are good. All things are very good." I believe what the Lord was saying there, that this creation I have created by my will, by my word, by my power, is now perfect. But what happened? Well, sin happened. Sin came into the world through the temptation of Adam and Eve, and they disobeyed. So there's no longer that perfection that God had created the world in. But there's a perfection and a beauty, a perfect beauty to come. Between now and then, Jesus Christ came in to bring about that beauty of the new birth, that sanctification work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, perfecting us in the likeness of Christ. The necessity of the new creation is because the old creation is broken. You see, though every one of us would love to be perfectionists, some of you are. Let me tell you right now, it's not going to happen here on this side of glory. Right? Because none of us are perfect. We don't have perfect lives. We don't have perfect marriages. We don't have perfect families. We don't belong to a perfect church. I wish we did. and that we had that perfection now. But you see, that's why Jesus Christ had to come into this world. Oh, the reason and the problem isn't imperfection, but it's what caused that brokenness and imperfection in your life and my life. And the cause of that is sin. And Jesus Christ perfectly, wonderfully, graciously meets that problem through forgiveness, through cleansing, on the basis of His sacrifice. A perfect sacrifice. That's why God can say in His Word, and He does, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." You see, all of us are broken. Jesus is the only one who can make us whole. And that's where the new birth comes in. And that's where that process of transformation comes in. That because of Jesus, you're not the same as you were before. Aren't you glad? Aren't you? Amen. I'm glad that I'm not the same as I was before. But God has done something through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that promises, that assures, that guarantees that that which was begun by God in your life will be brought to completion, to perfection. We're not perfectionists now, but Jesus Christ will make us perfect. You and I will one day see the perfect beauty and glory of heaven. You know something? Having said all that about heaven, if Jesus is not there, it's just another place. It's not home. You see, what makes it home for the believer is Jesus is there, the one who's preparing that place for us to be with Him and see Him and commune with Him and fellowship with Him in person. And because Jesus is in your life, He's transforming and shaping you and conforming you to His likeness. And be assured, like Paul says, He who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion and perfection. But there's something else in the glory of seeing the Lord Jesus and being with Him. In Philippians, Paul says this. He says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we all await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself." The glory of being with Jesus in heaven, because He's there. You see, one day, for each of us, different time, we don't know when, but for each of us in Christ Jesus, one day, one moment, the Lord will say, "The place is ready. Come on home. Come on home. I want you to be with me, and I want you to see me, and I want you to see the glory that you have in me." He has said that to some of our brothers and sisters already, hasn't he? "It's ready. Come on home." The glory of being with Jesus, if Jesus wasn't there, is not home. I believe the Holy Spirit puts within the heart of every born-again believer, every Christian, that heart's longing and desire to be with Jesus and to be home. And to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." Paul Tournay, a Christian counselor, was counseling a young fellow named Philip. Philip grew up in a broken home. We see much of that today. All our homes have some degree of brokenness. Philip grew up in a broken home, could not really enter into relationships for any length of time. Philip found himself leaving one relationship, going to another relationship. Philip also found himself going from one town to another town, from one city to another city. When Philip came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he sought Christian counseling. And the counselor, Paul Tournay, in counseling, he says, "Well, tell me a little bit about your background." And he shared that, the brokenness of his home life. He said, "You know, I've been living all my life, even since I left home, looking for a place where I could be and call it home." Maybe you're there. Maybe you're like Philip. There is a home. There's a home that's permanent, that's perfect, that's being prepared if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You see, it's the glory of the place being prepared by the Lord. It's the glory of the perfect and the beauty of heaven. But if that's all there was, if Jesus isn't there, that isn't home. And take a look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called what? Children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as he is pure. Without Jesus, heaven is just a place. But with Jesus there, it's home. A perfect home. A prepared home. And we shall see Him as He is. In all of His glory. In all of His majesty. And all of His authority and power. But you know something? With all of that said, if you know Jesus, you're going to see Him as your Lord and Savior. Not just as a sovereign creator. You're going to be seeing Him, the one that says, "Welcome home. Enter into the joy of this place I prepared for you. Welcome home." The glory of the new birth, that's where it starts. Have you been born again? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because that's where that glory begins, through the transforming years, to the place that He has prepared. We will be humbled, we'll be happy, we'll be holy. Seeing Him face to face, just as He is. And John says, we shall be like Him, perfect, complete, conformed to His image. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I have three important questions. They already are outlined before you. Three important questions that need to be asked. Is Christ in you? Are you born again? That's a question. Christ in you, are you born again? Second question, if you were to die today, do you know for certain where you would go? You see, there's only two destinations. And the choice is today. The decision is today. It's not after. Do you know that if you were to die today, that you have assurance that you would go to heaven? Third question, when you die and you stand before God and He asks you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" What will you answer? If God was to do that. I know some, while I joined the church, No, that's not the answer. I was baptized. No, that's not the answer. I was dedicated as a baby. No, that's not the answer. I went to the mission field. No, that's not the answer. I served in Sunday school. No, that's not the answer. I know Jesus Christ as your Lord, as my Lord and Savior. That's the answer. That's the answer. And the only answer is Christ alone. Christ in us, the hope of glory. If you find it difficult to answer any of these questions with certainty, then there's good news for you. Take a look, if you will, in your outline before you. The good news is, God has a plan to forgive you and to give you peace and life. He's promised that in His Son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you believe in Him, you will not perish and in eternal hell, in the lake of fire, but you will have the gift of eternal life. God has a plan. He does. And He wants to see that plan that He had for you fulfilled in your life because of Christ. Our problem, not because we're imperfect, not because we make mistakes. Our problem is because we're sinners. And because we're sinners, we need a Savior who can save us from sin, who can forgive us our sins, who can bring us in reconciliation to God, who created us, who we rebelled against. Yes, God has a plan. Our problem is sin. God's answer and remedy to our sin and condemnation is the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of His resurrection. Our response, take a look at your outline, our response to salvation for the penalty and power of sin, receive Jesus Christ by faith, trusting in His life payment, His sacrifice, that is, for our sins, and His resurrection from the dead. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, well, that doesn't mean generically, well, Jesus, you're Lord. No, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I believe in my heart that God has raised Him from the dead. God says you shall be saved. That's just as true as He says in Romans chapter 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's just as true as what He says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, we have a problem. The problem is sin. Not because we're imperfect. Not because we're weak. Not because we mess up, but because we're sinners and we need a Savior. The Spirit and the Bride, he's talking about the church, they say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who's thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Freely given, freely received. No strings attached. How do we receive it? Simply by trusting and believing in Jesus Christ. If you're struggling and you're searching, maybe you're searching, you're saying, Bill, I'm not so sure about this Jesus thing. But what I hear, my heart seems to be responding. I'm looking for a place that I can really call home. Because so far, my life is broken, and I've not found a place that I can really call home. But what you're saying this morning about a home that is perfect, where Jesus is, I think I want to find out more about that. I want to find out more about this Jesus. I heard His name, I know His name, I know something about Him. But can I know Him personally? And all God's people said, yes. If that's where your heart is right now, would you consider just praying this simple prayer? Prayer for those who are searching? Maybe you're searching to know the truth and to apply the truth to your heart. Maybe you know that you need a Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe you know that He does prepare a home for you. but you're not there in that relationship with Him. Would you pray that prayer here that you have and your outline before you? A prayer for those who are asking for salvation. Simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank You for coming into the world to be my Lord and Savior. I confess that I am a sinner and I have lived my life without any regard for You. That's where I was. Is that where you were too? Or are you still there? Then the good news is you don't have to be there. You can be with Him. I ask you that today I turn away from my sins and the direction of my life that my life has been taking. I ask You to forgive my sins and come into my life and give me Your power to live for You. Is that where you're at? Seeking salvation? Maybe you're a Christian like I was, struggling. Oh, I knew the Savior. Part of me enjoyed that and knew that I knew Him, but part of me wanted to live for myself. Do you know what I mean? Have you been there? Maybe you're struggling. Like Paul says, the good that I would, I find myself not doing, and the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing there in Romans chapter 7. What's the answer? A rededication of our lives to Jesus Christ. A recommitment to Him. So that you know that you know that you know Him. But you also know that you know that you know you have a home. And that He's working in your life right now. That already has begun with new birth. But you've drifted. You're angry. You're bitter. You're unforgiving. You're broken. He wants to heal you. Make your life whole again. Would you pray that prayer that you have here on your sheet before you? Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm struggling in my personal life and in my daily walk with You. Today I seek Your cleansing and renewed strength in my life. I ask You to restore my joy in You and lead me in the path of righteousness for the sake of Your name that I bear. Open Your word to my heart and my life in Your Holy Spirit so that others will see You in my life and my daily walk. You see, there are only three possibilities. Are you searching? Are you seeking salvation? Are you struggling? Where are you? Pray with me. Father God, we thank You that the very heart of the gospel is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord Jesus, we thank You for being that perfect, loving, caring Savior. The perfect Lamb of God to take away our sins through Your sacrifice, through Your shed blood, the power of Your resurrection to give new life. But Lord, I pray for every man, every woman, every boy or girl here in the sanctuary, Lord, I pray for Your Holy Spirit to work upon our hearts. Lord, those who are searching, who don't really know, Lord, guide them in that search. Draw them in that search to Yourself. Those who are here today, Father, who are seeking for salvation, they know that they need to be saved. Lord, direct them, draw them to Yourself, that today would be that day of decision, that today would be the day of salvation for them as they put their faith and trust in You, Lord Jesus. Maybe there's a brother or sister here who's struggling in their Christian life, in their marriage, in their family, here in their church family. Lord, have Your work of healing, broken lives, broken hearts, make whole again for Your glory and the glory that we will yet see in Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.